Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
Check. The all-time greatest intern slash producer.
Give me a mic check, people.
Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys. Welcome. What can I say? I know that it's a weird way for me to start the show. I've been doing it now, and I actually think it is working. It's working because I start the show, and then I just cancel out the browser. So if you guys are in the chat room right now, please let me know. What up, Fish on Jay? Fish on Jay, I gotta seriously ask you, did it freak you out when I walked up to your truck today? Because I had to get my mom up early this morning. She had to have some blood work done. And I took her there. Oh, Gung Honus. Who is Gung Honus? Gung Honus. Can I ask you a serious question? Is this the first time that you're checking out the show? Because maybe you have checked out the show, but I've not seen you participate in the chat room. Thank you. Like, if this is your first time, I appreciate you checking it out. And if it is your first time, I seriously would like to hear how you found out about the content that I'm putting out. But I went out to help my mom. She needed to get some blood work done and stuff. And I don't even know why. I just had a feeling when I saw this. And it's not an 18-wheeler. It's more of like a box truck. Fish on Jay, how would you describe the truck that you're driving? Because, like, when you were right out in the front, you hit the horn. It was like, meh, meh. Oh, well, I mean, okay, well, Gung Honus, I'm glad that you said something. I really, really do appreciate you checking the show out and participating. Ian Hawk writes, I looked you up when I was listening to old Ron and Fez and watched the Wrath of Tuttle episode. Man, you know, I miss Fez. You know, I get bummed out sometimes when I think about the times that I had with Ron and Fez. I learned so much from them. I learned a lot from the other radio guys, but Ron and Fez set me up to be able to, like, go to the next level. They prepared me like I was a kid that just graduated out of high school. They gave me the tools that I needed to take it to the next step. And Ron Bennington, in my opinion, is one of the best radio personalities of all time. Fish on Jay says he drives a 26-foot International. But this is how, like, full of myself I am, that when he honked it, I was like, Fish on Jay already sees my dad's old white Ford F-150, and that's why he was honking. Well, come to find out, it was just he honks at the front so they can open up the back door. Is it okay for me to say, Fish on Jay, what you do? You know what? I'm not going to, like, give out any details. But, like, Fish on Jay, it is such... Fish on Jay, can you call in, please? Can you call in? because I would love to talk to you about this. And it's you know, 407-270-3044. Iggy T. Iggy T, the video that Fish on J posted, I actually brought you up. Fish on J says, I honk the air horn so they can open the door. They love it. I think it takes them where they need to be, LOL. Seriously, I want to talk to you, Fish on J, because I think it's kind of interesting what you do for a living. Fish on J goes and picks up medical waste. Whatever it may be, blood, needles, all that stuff. Iggy says, wait, I need to check it out. Hold on. Here it is. Oh, it hung up. Try calling me back, Fish on J. No, I mean, it was nothing bad. Because we were talking about the people that come into the chat room and watch the show every single night. All right, here we go. Why is this not working? Please. Pick it up. Hey, Fish on J.
Yo.
Hey, so you can do a better job of describing what you pick up. Like, what do you do? Like, I didn't want to blow you in on anything, so, like, I just thought it would be better for you to call in of what you do for a living.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So what I do is that I work for a medical waste company. And what we do is that we go to hospitals, medical centers, so like LabCorp and Quest, anything that would have companies.
So like needles, yep. Or gloves. I mean gloves, right? They throw that into the medical waste as well too, right?
Yeah. Yep, they have to, because you don't know if someone has some type of skin condition. Uh-huh. Those gloves are contaminated.
Now, let me ask you this, though. So, what about, like, plastic surgeons that do, like, the sucking out the fat and stuff? Do you guys pick up that type of stuff as well?
Oh, yeah. A matter of fact, I see a whole bunch of stuff. I've seen the tubes where they mm-hmm. they suck up fat. I've seen... I'm trying not to get too graphic.
No. I mean, let it rip. Let it rip.
Yeah. Oh, I have funeral homes I go to, so I've seen lines of bodies. As a matter of fact, when COVID came up and really started, you know, taking people down, my funeral homes, I'll walk in there and I was literally walking through trays and trays of bodies to pick up all these boxes of medical waste. So
what about amputated body parts and stuff? Like, do you ever like pick up a hand, a foot, and a leg or an arm or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. They normally keep them frozen up and wrapped, and they'll put them inside a container or one of my company's containers, and that's it. And I just take it away.
Do you know what they do?
Back to the shop.
Do you know what they do with them? Like, do they dispose of this stuff at your place, or do they send it to some other place?
Yeah. Well, some places that they're transferred to another plant of some sort. But on my plant, we go ahead and we incinerate everything. So once the truck is full, if I come back, the guys in the plant, they take the truck, they stage it, they go ahead and they weigh it, of course, first, scan it. That's how the company gets paid, and that's how they bill everyone. And then they go ahead and they turn everything. If it's a cardboard box, they
burn the box and everything. They burn the box. Now, have you ever heard the thing about like a body weighs a certain amount before they burn it, and then like they weigh, you know, they say the ashes of like a full human body weighs something else, and they say, oh, the what's left over is like the weight of a a soul or something. I just, you know, because I'm not that of a religious person and stuff. But, like, how have you talked to any of the guys that do the incineration? Do, like, how hot does the fire actually get?
So the incinerator is burning, I think, if I recall, it's burning over 2,200, 2,300 degrees. And possibly a little hotter. But once everything there is burned, the machine actually pushes everything out, and it goes into a conveyor belt of some sort, and it scoops everything out, and it puts it into a roll-off can. And everything comes out ash, just black muck and dirt.
What did they do with the ashes, though? Like, do they do any, like, do you know what they do? Because there's got to be some type of byproduct after you get done burning something. Like, what do they do with the ashes? Do you know?
Yeah, so once the roll-off is full, we have a garbage company that picks up the roll-off and gives us an empty. And then they take that roll-off and they take it over to Treveris. Now, there's a huge, huge dump there. I mean, this
just
dump is
ashes?
One of the biggest.
It's just like they don't now. Does other garbage go in this area, or is it like is it just ashes?
No, this is everything. You got garbage trucks.
Okay, I got you.
You got roll off trucks. You got tractor trailer trucks. That have a boom to where they tip it over to let all the garbage out. Metals. Everything and everything is staged in different areas, but here's the thing. Here's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once all this medical waste is dumped into the ground, it's buried, and after a certain amount of years, I don't know. It doesn't take very long, but all that stuff just breaks apart and just disappears.
So I'm sure a lot of the stuff that you pick up is refrigerated. I could not tell when I saw you today in your truck. Is your truck refrigerated or no?
Oh, my God. I wish it was. Dude, in the summer?
The smell. That's what I wanted to ask you. The does it ever smell?
Yes. Especially when I go over to surgery centers. Because in a lot of surgery centers, they do a lot of colonoscopies, and the back of the truck will smell like shit. And also, I go to veterinarians also. So I'm
what like dog?
Up-
wait, hold on. So let's back up here. Like, you pick up like dead dogs, cats, pets that have been euthanized.
Yep. Pick up Fido. Pick up.
Wow.
Pick up goldfish, cats, squirrels, pick them all up.
Man, and a lot of people look at pets and it's you know, sometimes, you know, like with Shannon Burke and stuff, a lot of people were like, oh man, I can't believe he shot his dog, but nobody ever thought about, you know, people are more worried about the dog than what they were with his wife. And this is not me taking any shots at anybody or whatever, but it was like more people were pissed off about the dog than what they were. Sometimes people are just that way, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Trust me. I hear people say all the time that they prefer animals than they do people because animals don't judge.
Yeah, man. Man, oh man.
But
my mom, you know, when she came out today after she got her blood drawn, she said that she got caught off guard because she heard somebody when she was walking out the doors call her Mimo today. But she was happy to see you and stuff. And thank you for doing that video today as well. You know, I got a lot of feedback from that. Iggy is in here right now, and I was telling her, like, I was like, oh, yeah, man, we talked about you. Because we were talking about all the people that come in and stuff, and I was like, oh, what do you think about Iggy? And you were like, oh, man, real steamy, but you got to be respectful, which, you know, we are and everything. But I think we can say what we want to say when it comes to that, right?
Of course, she's a beautiful woman, and I think the best thing about her is that she's a part of the damn podcast.
She's
awesome.
Exactly.
She's awesome. I mean,
well,
I'll stand up for her, man.
Hey, can I bring up the?
Nobody's gonna mess with her.
Hey, can I bring up the? You know what? I don't want to put you on the spot. You said you forgot something this morning. Like, was everything okay? I mean, you don't have to say. Remember, like, when you were, I was walking back with you to the truck, you were like, oh, I forgot something today. And I was like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yes, my wallet.
Okay, well, I didn't want to, like, blow up your spot by saying that.
Oh, no, dude. I stopped at a racetrack on 44 right before I was going to hop on 95 to get over to Edgewater. And then, dude, I had a monster, I had a sandwich, and I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to destroy these things. And, well, no wallet. So I'm like, well, I'm fucked.
Oh, well, all right. So just a quick question, and I'll let you go. So obviously you are licensed. You have a clean driving record and stuff. Like, what would have happened if you would have happened to have gotten pulled over and you didn't have your wallet on you?
I got a picture of my license.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, yeah. Like, would it have been, like, a really bad deal breaker?
If I didn't have anything, yeah. I could have got points. Not like points like how a regular driver gets.
Just on your CDL driver. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But being a CDL, there's certain amount of points that you get for having a light out. Or a tire that's bald, you know, those kind of points that they get on your CDL. But no. I have a picture of my license on my phone. I got my insurance card out on my phone, and I've used a picture of my license before on my phone.
Well, don't they have digital license now though? Like, you can actually show people on your phones, or is that just some bullshit that I heard about?
No. No, dude, it works. As long as you show some type of identification, you have to give them your phone because they got to go back to their laptop. And once they see that, hey, you know, this guy's not a killer.
Hey, let me ask you this, because the next story, when I get off the phone with you, I want to talk about this. Do you ever travel the 417 at all?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Going
over to Oviedo and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, like, so you've gone across Lake Jessup right there on the 417 then before, right?
Oh, man. I can't tell you how many mosquitoes I've slammed through that damn thing.
Well, did you see that there was, like, a big delay on the 417 today? Because, I mean, it's a very Florida story. They're, you know, because it's gator mating season right now, and if people don't live in Florida, Lake Jessup is the most populated lake in the whole state of Florida when it comes to alligators. And there were some male alligators crossing the road and stuff. There's roadkill, people run over stuff. But gators are just nothing but muscle. Well, in the truck you're driving, I don't think it would mean anything to you. Do you think it would do anything to your truck if you ran over a 12-foot gator on the road?
Well, my truck would probably do a bunny hop and maybe blow the tires.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking about pure muscle here. Like, it would almost be like a small, like, I don't know, like going over a bump, right? Like any of those slow down stop bumps that everybody sees. Because it would, if you were hauling ass, hitting a full-size alligator would be bad.
Dude, down in Alligator Alley in South Florida, going fishing one morning, I saw blue lights about a mile going down. And what did I see? I saw about a 12-foot gator on its back, dead. And there was a car, and it looked like an old Mazda.
It tore that car up then. That car had to be destroyed.
Dude, that car was flipped. I think it was a Mazda 626. Well, it was flipped on its side, dude. The both wheels were gone. The front bumper was just hanging. Dude, that's my first time ever seeing how much damage hitting a big gator will cost a vehicle. It'll almost take their life without it even biting you.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so this gator, like, nobody hit it, fortunately. And the gator, they had to, like, shut 417 down going northbound on the 417.
Okay.
And, well, I don't know, northbound. All right, so if you're going on the 528 and you get on the 417 and, like, you're going to Tampa, that's southbound, right?
Yeah, that's south.
Okay, so they were going northbound. They were directing everybody out the shoulder because it was a big-ass gator, and, you know, they had to call trappers and stuff, and it was just a big tie-up. And it's pretty much the most Florida story you could think of. You know how they like to make Florida look like a bunch of hill jacks and stuff. And they think we live with dinosaurs and everything. That's one of those stories.
Dude, Gator was trying to find some ass. Say it.
He was trying to find some ass. All right, Fish on J, man. I really appreciate it. And I am freed up on the 7th. So let's make plans to do some surf fishing. All right.
Yeah, that's going to be good, and we're definitely going to make some content out of that.
All right, man. Have a good one. It was good seeing you today.
Same here, man. See you.
All right, bye. All right, here is the story about the gator on the 417 here in Orlando. Trooper Steve was covering it. This actually made national news, by the way.
Safety expert Trooper Steve with what? Something crazy in the road.
Yeah, why'd the gator cross the road?
He
wanted to clear 417. That's the problem.
All right, come on, man. Really? Are we doing why the gator crossed the road jokes? And I'm not saying Trooper Steve even, like, wrote that joke or that was something he wanted to do, but come on, man. Really? Trooper Steve was in the military. He was a lifelong highway patrolman. Well, not lifelong. I mean, hell, Trooper Steve is younger than I am. But Trooper Steve has, like, got everything going for him. Highway patrolman, military guy. And, you know, like, one of the producers, hey, it would be funny. Why did the gator cross the road? I'm not pitting this on Trooper Steve.
Head over to traffic safety expert Trooper Steve with what? Something crazy in the road.
Yeah, why'd the gator cross the road? He wanted to clear 417. That's the problem.
No, he was trying to get some ass. That's what that gator was doing, just like Fish on J said. He's trying to get some ass.
So right now, 417 northbound in Sanford. Man, put this call out. You'll get every law enforcement officer out there. We do have an alligator on the side of the road that's causing major slowdowns.
And by the way, a lot of people think I'm bullshitting when I say this. Lake Jessup is one of the most alligator-infested lakes in the United States. Do you realize when I was on the Monsters, it was me, Tom Van, a.k.a. Drunky the Bear, Whopper, I think another intern. They made us swim in Lake Jessup at the time. It was really, really terrifying. If you ever are going down the 417 or you're ever on Lake Jessup, if you got a big spotlight or, hell, even a flashlight will do it because there are so many gators. If you shine a light in that lake, you'll be blown away when you see all the reflections off of people or off of all the alligators' eyes. Like, man, what is in the water? It's you will... you'll be blown away how many alligators are in that lake. And we went swimming in it for a damn radio bit. Could have easily been killed. But living in the state of Florida, you got to realize any freshwater lake or any body of water in the state of Florida, there is a good chance that there's an alligator in it.
So as you're traveling northbound over Lake Jessup, of all places, right? This is where this is going to come in. We are...
Look at that. All red. Going north. On the 417. All because of a goddamn gator.
About a 5-mile backup right now as you're traveling north.
Oh, man. I would be so pissed. Just get out there. A lot of these get-or-dones that are traveling in the Sanford Oviedo area, they know how to handle a gator. Just get it off the road, man. A 5-mile backup because of an alligator. Yeah, I would be pissed as well, too.
But you can see they pushed traffic off to the left shoulder here, that gator currently on the right shoulder.
So, I don't know. Well, my guess is going to be coming on real soon. I don't want to get into another story when my guest is about to come on. Daniel Hess is going to be joining me real soon. You know what? I think I could knock out one of them. You know, I played a lot of sports in my life. And the one thing that a lot of people forget about are the umpires, the officials. And I've been seeing a lot of stories about this. I've been seeing a lot of stories about this of, you know, these overly aggressive parents that take the game too serious.
A softball umpire was punched.
All right, so let me set this up. This is a female umpire for a softball league. Keep in mind, a lot of these umpires, referees, officials for any of these sports, they are working for free. They're not getting paid for this. They're doing it because they're trying to give back to the sport that they love. What up, Selma? Selma says, hi, Tuttle. Legion of Dude checking in. But these parents, it's not about the kids anymore. It has stopped being about the kids a long, long time ago. And for you guys to attack an official that is donating their time, it makes you a complete, absolute asshole.
After ejecting a parent from her child's softball game for yelling profanity.
12 News' Deidre Briscoe talked to the umpire who says she was assaulted.
Chris, look at this. This is somebody that donates their time to the youth to support youth sports. You know, sports keeps a lot of kids out of trouble and stuff. And some asshole parent attacked this woman.
Christy Moore was allegedly assaulted Saturday after she tossed Kiara Thomas from the game. But it didn't happen immediately, according to Christy. The mad mom allegedly stuck around and ambushed the official in the parking lot. The story made national news, and now the state UIC umpire says she's constantly reliving it.
Guys. Seriously, this is somebody that is donating their time. And I played Little League baseball. I played high school baseball. These are all people that are donating their time. And yes, they do get calls wrong. But it's about the kids. It is about the kids. And parents that are living vicariously through their children that are playing sports because they couldn't make it or they weren't good enough and taking it out on people that are donating their valuable time is despicable. And there is, I have two stories about officials getting attacked. Do you realize there is a shortage of officials that are supposed to call games and stuff? Because this is something that's becoming a little bit of a pandemic.
This band.
Oh, Dan, you know what? Hold on. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What up, Daniel? Hold on.
What's going on?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Did I pop in too
early? No, you didn't. I was in the middle of a story, but I was trying to get through it before you came. Daniel, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Daniel, before we get into the interview a little bit, where are you joining us from?
So I'm in good old Baltimore, Maryland.
You know, I just started watching a show. I was a big fan of the TV show The Wire. That took place in Baltimore. Did you ever watch The Wire?
I have seen parts of it, but I'm probably the one Baltimorean who has not seen the entire Wire.
Well, the entire Wire. You're a poet and you don't even know it.
Busting them out.
But there's another show, you know, that is out right now. That is from the creators of The Wire. It's called We Own the City. It's got John Bernthal from The Walking Dead in it, and I want to give it a try. Is that area as bad? You know how TV shows and stuff like to, you know, kind of like hype up how bad things are in a certain area? Is it as bad? Like, have you ever like experienced that type of stuff?
So I've never experienced that type of stuff personally, but I have been to those areas and it's pretty bad. Like, I won't try to sugarcoat it. It's not great. It's interesting. I was actually filmed at a school that was in West Baltimore, which is the majority of where The Wire takes place. Mm-hmm. And it's a totally different world. It's so shocking how far removed it is from the rest of like Baltimore City. And then of course the county and everything like that. It's pretty wild. But yeah, I've had some friends and heard some stories over the years about stuff in West Baltimore. And yeah, it's not a great place to end up, especially at night, for sure.
Daniel, though, you know, a lot of my supporters might not know exactly what you do and stuff, but you're a writer. You've done a lot of stuff. You have written and have the aspirations of doing some future scripts and stuff like that, right? How much of your personal experiences go into that? And after you answer that question, tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can check out the content and stuff that you're putting out.
Yeah, so, you know, personal events sort of paint into everything that I do writing-wise. I'd say the first feature that I started working on back in 2020 during the height of the pandemic was really painted from my first kind of long-term relationship and the fallout that inevitably happened with that. And that went into that script pretty completely. But since then, I've sort of started getting more into writing, you know, more fictionalized stories, but there's still experiences that work their way into those stories, whether that be from, you know, conversations I've had with people over the years and just remembering certain aspects of time periods or sayings or just little things that sort of come out into it. I've been in the film world since about 2012 when I graduated from Towson here in Maryland in their film program. For a while I was doing, you know, wedding videos and stuff like that, but then transitioned back into the film space around 2018. And if people are kind of trying to check out what's going on here, the best place is usually the website, which is twotonyproductions.com. And then I have a pretty active Instagram account and Twitter, which are all under those same monikers.
Daniel, one of the things that I know that had affected you about knowing somebody that had passed away from cystic fibrosis and stuff. Walk me through that a little bit. Like, how old were you? Because sometimes dealing with stuff that's as heavy as that at a young age can be traumatic. It can shape you as a person. in the future and stuff. So I don't know how much you're comfortable talking about and stuff, but I would love to hear about how that has maybe shaped you, inspired you in any way.
Yeah. So, I was very close with my cousin. He was really my best friend growing up. His name is Tony, and that's sort of where the company name comes from, as a dedication to him. But, you know, what ended up happening was he was born with cystic fibrosis. And by the time he was 14, he ended up in the hospital for a while, and he was in a coma. And so pretty much every day we were going to visit him. And, you know, I was 9 years old when this was all unfolding. And he actually ended up passing away 10 days before my birthday on July 14th, when I was turning 10. And so, you know, I feel like I was always sort of a creative type. Like growing up, I would watch, you know, old Godzilla movies and in my head write these fan fiction Godzilla stories. But, you know, after that point, I always say that, like, that's when childhood for me sort of ended. You know, it was just, you watch somebody that young that you were that close with die. It's just something that you don't expect, you know, especially at that age.
How did that shape you, though? Like, did it hurt you in any way, or did it kind of prepare you for the real world?
For me, it was really tough. Like, it was, you know, something that I didn't really know how to, like, 100% deal with. So a lot of that was where, like, the earliest stages of me writing, like, poetry and just trying to create different worlds to, like, escape to, and my mind started really happening. And just, yeah, seeing the world differently. But also, yeah, there was that maturing of just, like, you know, seeing that this is how things are as you grow up and get older. You know, it's not a cakewalk.
Fish on Jay says Godzilla is the shit. what is, all right. So there have been some bad Godzilla movies. So the, look, I love Matthew Broderick. I like Hank Azaria, but that piece of crap that they did back in the day,
98.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty bad, right? I mean,
as a kid, I saw it in theaters as a kid because I was so hyped, and of course, kid brain loved it. But
now,
growing
looking
up,
back
looking
back
on
it, it was bad. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, what did you think of the Godzilla whole, like, monster, like, universe that they were creating? Godzilla versus Kong. Godzilla versus Mecha Godzilla, and then you had all the Godzilla movies versus Mothra and stuff. Did you like any of those?
I mean, I really liked the 2014 like reboot of Godzilla that I know a lot of people weren't big fans of, but I thought Gareth Evans, who was the director on that one, did a pretty good job of, like, marrying the human stories and then the Godzilla part of it pretty well. And then I wasn't the biggest fan of Godzilla versus Kong.
No.
Just cause I felt like, especially the ending was kind of
like, they were like buddies and all that stuff. And then, you know, the Mecha Godzilla thing. I kind of agree with you on that one. I really do. So you're a screenwriter, you're writing a lot of stuff. You've done the poetry, but your aspirations are writing movies. I think you got a couple in the hopper that you're wanting to work on. You know, a lot of people that go into writing stuff, they got to make a little bit of concession sometimes. They could be able to, you know, get their story out there. Is this something, like, you're going to hold, like, true on? And you're like, if you're not happy with the direction they want to take your story, walk me through that. Like, because it's all, like, just something that I really don't know anything about.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting route that you kind of have to take. On one hand, you know, if you want to have that complete creative control, you really have to go into it with more of the indie funding side, you know, a lot of it is either going to come from private financiers or you're just going to raise the money yourself. And that's ultimately always going to give you the most creative control. Mm-hmm. But then if you start looking into, like, you know, you want to get some bigger stars involved with it, you want to get some indie studios involved, that's when concessions are ultimately going to be made.
How about this, Daniel? I say, mm-hmm. let's do a little role playing here. Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm some Hollywood executive right now, and you're wanting to get your script, your story that you've written picked up. Explain it to me. Explain to me if you were, like, making a pitch to me, like I was some big time Hollywood executive, about your story.
Yeah, I mean, for me the process would really be nailing down that really solid log line, and then I'm a big fan of kind of finding what two films kind of encapsulate what you're trying to do and trying to make sure that those are, like, interesting projects. So, like, for one of the scripts I'm working on, I like to say, think of it as, like, Blue Valentine meets mid-90s. Because it's, like, a story that jumps around a little bit in time frame, but it takes place in the early to mid-90s.
I'm getting a Quentin Tarantino feel here almost, the way that you're pitching it to me here. So I didn't mean to interrupt. I just had to jump in there and say that. So, all right. Please move on.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's really what it comes down to. And then, of course, having a good, like, deck to show too, to say, you know, hey, here's story synopsis, here's budget breakdowns, here's who's involved with it at this stage. I mean, just having all of those elements that you can really kind of condense down into. I mean, typically you're going to have 5 to maybe 10 minutes if you're extremely lucky with these people. And you just kind of got to throw it all out there at once. So for me, that's how I sort of prepare for that kind of stuff.
Do you have, all right, so when you're writing stuff, do you have any actors in mind that you're like, all right, I would love, I mean, we all dream big and stuff, but, like, do you have any actors in mind for some of the characters you've written?
You know, I try to avoid that, because that's the biggest advice a lot of times you get from other writers is, like, don't think of anybody for these roles. Mm. So, like, for me, there's one project that I'm working on that is, it's like a World War One project.
Okay.
And I would love, it would be all animated, but I was like, I would love to have somebody like a David Attenborough do a voice for this one character specifically. So that's, to me, and, like, the best instance I can point to.
You could not pick a better iconic voice, you know, because you're talking about animation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man. I could watch anything. I don't care how bad it is. If David Attenborough was, like, voicing it, I would watch it. Like, seriously.
Yep.
I mean, he just has that voice that you could, I would, seriously, it could be a explanation about doing laundry or something and have him voice it over. I would be like, yeah, sign me up. I'm down for this.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the one thing I've thought of. It's like, if I could get him in that role, that would be great. But otherwise, I try to keep an open mind with characters and stuff in my stories.
One of the things that I read about your bio, because I'm guilty of this. I've been working in radio. I've had a decent career. I haven't become, like, super wealthy from doing it. This whole podcast stuff is new to me. But and the bio, here, let me read exactly what was said about all right. After I stuck with film and video extent in my career, it says, after I stuck with film and video, sometimes to a stubborn extent in my career. That was in the bio. Mm-hmm. Now there have been some times where, like, I've had some really, really good times, and then I had some low times, and I was like, all right, maybe this just is not for me. Is that kind of like what you're talking about with that? Like, maybe you feel like sometimes you might be going down the wrong path?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my family specifically, I'm kind of the first one that has any kind of inkling of art career trajectory. So it's definitely been different in that regard, in that, you know, no one else has a template for it. I've been sort of figuring it out as I go. And then, you know, when I was doing weddings for a long time, it was like the most soul sucking work I could have possibly chosen for myself.
Were you DJing?
No, I was filming, which is
Were you doing the editing and everything like that? And I'm sure you did you ever have to deal with any bridezillas? Like women that were just being so, like, you just could not, like, reason with them. They were upset about everything you were doing.
So, yeah, I never really had a bridezilla per se, but I've definitely had some really rough weddings where couples would get, like, I had one where the groom got insanely drunk very early.
Well, please tell me, do you have any of this video? Like, no, I'm
sure it's on a hard drive somewhere.
Man, I swear to God, I would absolutely love it if you, I got to have you back on. If you can find any of this stuff, I don't know what type of contracts and stuff you've signed with people or non-like disclosures, but man, I'm sure some of these people that are just absolutely losing their shit when it comes to stuff, because, you know, when it's such a big day like that, you see a lot of people on edge. You had to have seen that type of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the biggest thing is, like, most of the time, that's the closest you get to the bridezilla is just, like, they're just insanely on edge, and it's just awkward for everybody. So
what was the most awkward thing you've seen? What was the most awkward thing you've ever seen doing these filming weddings and stuff?
I mean, I remember one time I was working with a photographer friend who the bride had asked to do, like, a boudoir, like, shoot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you go do your shoot with her or whatever. I'm going to stay out here. And he just was like, no, come in and film it. And I was just like, I don't think she wants this filmed. So I was just like awkwardly standing there with the camera, just like you could tell she was feeling uncomfortable as it was. And I was just like, I don't want to be in this room. But yet I was just stuck in there filming this, like her half naked, like posing on a bed.
All right. So let's talk about that though. When we're talking about filming things and being artistic, do you draw a line of what you would film for a price? Like, you know, say somebody was like, hey, me and my wife, we want to excite the romance and stuff. Like, if somebody was coming with you and was like, here, Daniel, here's a blank check. I need you to write it, but you can put in any amount that you want to, but I want you to shoot a porno with me and my wife or something. Like, would you be against that in any way? It's not like it's going to be out there or anything, but it's just for their own personal private use.
Yeah. You know, if in that situation, I'd like to think I'm a pretty open-minded person. I don't know if I would, like, jump at the chance of it, but I will say this. At one point in time, there was actually a studio that was, I believe, based somewhere here in Maryland. I like interviewed with them, and that's what they did, is they made very, like, higher end, like, porn material.
No kidding. Are you for, man, that's bad. I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean,
I met with them. I was going to say, I met with them, I did an interview with them, and I almost did it just because the way they filmed most of their content was they would go to Europe for like a month,
all right,
just all over Europe, and just film with all these like higher end European like porn film star people.
Wow.
And just travel around Europe completely free and then also get paid. And like I said, at that time, I almost did it, but I was with someone who was just completely not comfortable with that, so I ultimately turned it down. But like I said, if I was single, I probably would have done that because that was just, I mean, I get to travel to Europe for free and that's all I got to do. Like,
hell yeah.
Okay.
How old of a guy are you?
I'm 31.
31. All right. And so you're still relatively young. I just turned 42. So, but so relationship, I mean, you in a relationship right now, like, are you with somebody, you know, because once you start getting to, you know, that 30s, that, you know, in your 30s and stuff, you gotta start thinking about that as well too. Or, you know, cause sometimes when you're with somebody, you gotta make decisions like you just said.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now I'm not currently with anyone specifically. But you know, not for lack of trying, certainly. I've been on feels like dating apps for forever.
Which one do you use? If you know, I'm more of a Tinder guy and stuff, but the more and more like I'm thinking about these dating apps, I really do think they're nothing but a big like sham.
Yeah, I mean nowadays especially they all want you to buy like the premium versions.
Yeah,
and pay
and they want
stuff.
You to get a Tinder Platinum and all that stuff and find out who likes you and yeah, it's like, you know what? It's almost seeming like I'm buying a hooker almost with the amount you're paying and everything. And I'm not saying the women on there are hookers and stuff. I'm just, you know, stating the facts.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I feel like they're all pretty predatory. I mean, I've used like OkCupid, Bumble, Hinge, Tinder all over the years at various times. And pretty much all of them are on the same boat now. Where it's just like you buy the premium, you know, see who likes you, all that stuff. It's wild.
But Daniel, though, so you know, speaking about that, it's like when you get out in the dating world and stuff. You know, I was working in terrestrial radio for a while, and that's way better. Like when you're going out and meeting somebody, like yeah, I work on the radio and stuff. But like when you tell maybe a potential somebody you might be interested. Oh yeah, I'm a podcaster. Nobody takes that seriously and stuff. And you know what you're doing and everything. You're a writer. You're wanting to get one of your scripts written and picked up and stuff. Like at some time, like how do you pitch it when you meet somebody? Because I got to do that. I'm almost embarrassed when I was like, oh yeah, I'm a podcaster. I'm a content creator.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of go into it and it's just like, it's interesting because most people are like, oh, you know, you like to write, that's cool and all. And I'm the one usually putting the asterisks on it where I say like, it's cool, but like, come back to me when I'm actually like making a living off of it. You know, it's like, to me, that's always my level is just like when I'm doing it full time and I'm just consistently making money, we're good. But up until that point, it's like, yeah, I'm just the guy who writes in junk.
All right. So you said that you've written a lot of poetry. Like, has any of your poetry ever, like, sealed the deal, like, with the opposite sex or anything? Like, I mean, for real, like, I mean, most guys that try to write poetry, it's corny as fuck. If I'm just being honest, like. And I'm sure you could like put out something when it comes to poetry that is actually good and doesn't seem corny like most guys write. Has your writing ever like helped you out when meeting somebody?
I mean, it's done both sides of the coin. I actually had someone that I was seeing for a little bit and they read my poetry book and that was the reason why they didn't want to pursue things further.
Why? I don't understand that. You would think that a lady would like, oh my God, this guy is writing poetry and stuff.
Well, she just like analyzed a lot of it and saw that a lot of it was coming from, you know, my issues with like my last relationships and stuff like that. And she kind of took that as like, I don't feel like you're over things and all that stuff. So
what's your worst breakup? The one that hurt the most?
Probably the first one that was, it was a 7-year long relationship and, just a lot. We were young. Like we started dating when I was 18 and she was 16. And,
Whoa. I don't know what the legal things are in Baltimore and stuff, but 18 and 16? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to call you out and everything.
No,
but
it's okay. I'll say this. We waited a while before we jumped into anything like
okay,
that.
I so, got you. All right. I'm looking out for you. I don't want you to like kind of incriminate yourself on the show or whatever. But all right. So Daniel, before I let you go, tell my supporters, viewers that listen to the content I put out, how can they support you? How they can check it out and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I would say, again, check out the website, which is totonyproductions.com, T-O-T-O-N-Y, productions.com. You can check out like my film work, my written work, and then June 6th of this year, I'm putting out my first novel, which is called Focus Puller, and that will be on Amazon and hopefully in a few bookstores, indie bookstores across the country, so check it out when that comes out, and just reach out to me anytime through the website or Instagram or Twitter.
All right, Dan. Hey, man, let's keep in touch, man. You're a good dude. I got to tell you, I love when I have guests on that don't get thrown off by any of my questions, that can just roll with the punches and stuff. When I have guests on, I just ask for honesty, and I really think that you gave that to me. So I want to tell you, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I'm all about transparency, you know, that's the sharing the stories of life is the way that we kind of, you know, get it out there and hopefully somebody will get something from it.
Hey, Daniel, I'm going to follow you anywhere I can on social media and stuff, and I would like to exchange contact info if you ever need anything so you can reach out to me, okay?
That works.
My email, you can see it rolling across the bottom, tuttle@gmail.com. Just reach out to me and I'll send you all my stuff. All right, man.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I hope you have a great night and, hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Sounds good. You have a great night there as well.
All right, man. Have a good one. Bye. Have a good one. Duh. I can't believe I just said that. Anyways. Let me get back to this. I might want to start out at the beginning. There is a big, big problem when it comes to these people that donate their time to help out the youth when it comes to athletics, because you got to have these officials, these umpires, referees, to donate their time to do this type of stuff, and they're getting attacked by these parents that are living vicariously through their kids. And this, it's despicable, in my opinion.
A softball umpire was punched in the face after ejecting a parent from her child's softball game for yelling profanity.
12 News' Deidre Briscoe talked to the umpire, who says she was assaulted.
Christy Moore was alleged.
I mean, this is sad.
Assaulted Saturday after she tossed Kiara Thomas from the game.
And look at this woman right here. Oh, the humanity. But this woman compared to this woman that is all like beat up and banged.
For yelling profanity.
12 News' Deidre Briscoe.
It's not a fair fight.
Talked to the umpire, who says she was assaulted.
Christy Moore was allegedly assaulted Saturday after she tossed Kiara Thomas from the game, but it didn't happen immediately, according to Christy.
Okay, well, how about this? Let's start letting these umpires conceal carry. I bet this will end any of the physical violence towards some of these people that donate their time. This woman has a family at home that she could be with, but she's donating her time to officiate a softball game. I really do think some of these parents would not be as wanting to be your huckleberry and stuff if they had a firearm on their person.
Bad mom allegedly stuck around and ambushed the official in the parking lot. The story made national news, and now the state UIC umpire says she's constantly reliving it.
This has been very, very hard.
This woman does not seem like the type of person that is ready for. Look at the shiner she has. Now, some people do bruise easier than others. Maybe it looks worse than what it actually does, but it still does not give the right of this mother. By the way, what does it teach her kids? That just because you don't agree with a decision that somebody makes, that it's okay to physically attack them? No. This is why we're in that revolving door of violence generation through generation. Same thing goes for racism. Kids are not born violent. Kids are not born racist. Kids are taught that. They are. And some people may not believe that when I say that. Because growing up in the South here, you're kind of at a disadvantage of breaking the stigma of racism because, and I'm not saying like people's parents in the South are bad. That's what they were taught by their parents, and their parents were taught by their parents. But you do have to break the cycle, and this is not breaking the cycle when it comes to violence.
Like anywhere I go, of course, at this point, people know who I am, and you know, looking at my eye, and the hardest part of it all was going home that night and my children seeing me, and they just burst into tears.
Just in the face.
Oh, God damn it. You know, I really hate this.
This year,
what I'm trying to say, though, is that this woman does not deserve this. She has been donating her time, taking time away from her family, and she's got to explain this to her kids, like she said.
Hard to try to talk to them about it.
Moore says it's for reasons like this that there is a nationwide umpire shortage. Earlier this year, a bill was introduced to the legislature asking state leaders to upgrade charges for assault of sporting officials.
And it needs to happen. It has to happen. Because what's going to happen? Are you going to have the parents out there? You're not going to be able to find somebody that is neutral, that has no skin in the game when it comes to this stuff. Because they don't need the bullshit that comes with being an official in a youth sporting event. 18 and under. These are parents that are, like I said, living vicariously through their kids.
From simple assault to aggravated assault, but the bill died. The Laurel Police Department says it can only be escalated to aggravated assault if there were broken bones.
Are you kidding me? So you're telling me just because this official, this woman, did not have any broken bones, it's just simple assault. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm shock jocking and stuff, but let's be honest. This wouldn't be happening, and where is this at? I don't even know exactly where this is at. You know, yesterday about the parking spot thing, some guy, I think it was Bubba Lost Everything, was trying to say, that wasn't a clean shoot. But if you're an umpire for a softball game and a parent attacked you in the parking lot, that is premeditated. I think that concealed carry gun permit people need to do everything in their means not to have to shoot somebody. This cannot be happening in Florida, because I'm telling you right now, if this happened in Florida, it wouldn't happen in Florida. It could, but people would think twice, because you don't know if this woman that is a softball official had a concealed carry permit. That's why I don't road rage in Florida anymore. That's why I don't even like arguing with people, because you just do not know who has a gun or doesn't have a gun.
It doesn't appear you can't this time. If the only injury was a black eye, usually when it's a fight or hands assault, I guess, for lack of a better term, there's going to have to be broken bones in order to upgrade the charge to aggravated assault.
At this time, Kiara Thomas is charged with simple assault. She will have to pay $450 in fines.
I mean, that is a pretty, like I said, some people do bruise easier than others. That's a bad black eye.
It's been possible.
Not black guy, black eye.
In county jail. For now, the Laurel Police Department has banned her from all recreational facilities in the Jones County area. The team associated with the parent is also suffering. Team MVP can no longer.
Okay, so this mother has basically ruined the whole season for the team, is what they're saying. Man, once again, I mean, Fish on Jade, I mean, it should be the last resort if you got to light someone up. But Fish on Jay, you saw the woman that assaulted this very skinny, petite official, right? What is she supposed to think? I'm not saying it would be a clean shoot, but I could not blame her. Like, if she did do and use deadly force on somebody that was attacking her, especially when she's donating her time.
Longer participate in the USFA tournament. We reached out to them and have yet to hear back. Reporting in Jones County, Deidre.
All right, so let's go. You know what? I got another story, but I'll play it tomorrow about another sports official being assaulted. I'll tell you what is a clean shoot, and this will be the final story that I've played. Now, some people are going to disagree with me on this one. Like, for example, somebody on the chat, like I said, somebody just trying to, like, be shocking said, oh, yeah, that guy that shot the guy in the that was in his parking spot, that was a clean shoot. No, it wasn't. This story I'm about to play for you, once again, I say this all the time, I don't have kids, I'll probably never have kids. But this one town is having a problem with a peeping Tom. Not a peeping Tom that's looking at adult women, I'm talking about a peeping Tom that is looking at pre-teenage kids through their window. The person is on their property. It was caught on a Ring doorbell. And I might be going overboard on this. I would have no problem. I don't think a judge would have any problem. I don't think law enforcement would have a problem if this mother would have shot this guy dead that was looking in her 7-year-old daughter's room.
Having something like a Ring doorbell installed isn't very unusual these days. But for Amber Engelman, what was unusual is what her Ring camera captured on the night.
I'm sorry. If there is a guy, look where his hand is. His hand's down near his crotch. He's holding on to the what looks like the overhang of outside of her daughter's bedroom, and this guy is peeking into her daughter's room. I'm sorry, this is a clean shoot. The guy is on her property looking in her daughter's room. This guy does not need to be alive.
Of April 9th.
Typically, there's nothing there. And this time, he saw a man leaning in and looking through. I'm guessing he saw him, like, a little crack in the curtains, and he was looking through my daughter's window.
After seeing.
All right, guys, I need your feedback. Please, in the chat room, or give me a call here, 407-270-3044. If you caught a guy peeping into your daughter's room like this and a creepy ass leather jacket, that's a clean shoot. Sorry. I'll take my chances. This guy does not need to be walking on this planet. And they say in the story it could have been a misunderstanding. No, 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 no. There's no misunderstanding when it comes to this.
The image of what appears to be a man lurking outside of her 6-year-old daughter's window.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Not a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old. I know that the year difference really doesn't make a big difference. But come on, man. Seriously. I'm sorry. If I was picked for a jury, if this mom would have came out and shot this guy dead, I'm not convicting her. No way in hell.
Knee-jerk reaction was something police never suggest doing.
When I realized, you know, it just happened a few minutes ago, I just flew open my back door, and I don't know what I was going to do, but...
That is the thing about a mama bear. Even though this mom probably would not have defended herself, a mama bear, a mother, will come out there, and they will, they don't care. This woman didn't even have a means to protect herself, but guess what? She flung open the door to be able to scare this absolute scumbag. I mean, Fish on J, I agree, it should be a clean shoot, but since he's outside and they're inside, I'm sorry, Fish on J. I mean, you're right, Fish on J, you can't. But guess what? Like, I don't think law enforcement is going to prosecute. I mean, a lawyer maybe. But like I said, thank you, Wags. Wood chipper and pig farm. Like I said, I don't think anybody that was picked, especially a parent. How are you, Wags, man? I miss you, buddy. It does mean a lot that you do check out this show and stuff. You know, I need to give you a call. But Wags is right. Wood chipper and pig farm. It is true. Like, I don't think a jury would fault a mother for coming out and shooting this guy dead for peeping in her 6-year-old daughter's room. Because guess what? The guy had more devious intentions. What if the mother would not have caught this guy looking in her daughter's bedroom on the Ring camera? That little kid could have been abducted. Who knows what this guy was thinking? That's why I would never, ever convict a mother that would shoot somebody that was peeping inside of her daughter's bedroom. By the way, he's on her property. Enough said.
My back door, probably not the best idea.
If they are there for some sort of inappropriate reason, obviously they came there with some, you know, pretty cruel intentions to begin.
That's why concealed carry, or come out with the sawed off and just blast them. Ask questions later. Dead men, you know, and I see, that's the thing about it. I don't even know if I can be honest when I talk about this stuff, because I don't know. I might get banned for the opinion that I'm having on this, but I'm going to stick true to it.
So, you know, obviously they're not going to respond well to your
thanks,
confrontation.
Wags.
And it's
have
just
a good
going
night.
To escalate things further.
Although Amber did ultimately contact the Fox Valley Metro Police Department, the individual in the image hasn't been located.
In this case.
All right. So wait a minute. Don't the Ring doorbells record video? So you're telling me this guy did not show his face at all? I don't know. This might be an inside. I don't know.
It was a dark jacket and jeans. So it's kind of a vague description as to what we're looking for. You know, and unfortunately, if you've seen the photograph, their face is obstructed by a pillar. So we're going off of a clothing description. So it's really, you know, up in the air as to who this could be.
That's why it should have been a clean shoot. You wouldn't have to worry about any description at all, because guess what? The corpse would have been outside the six-year-old's bedroom window.
This appears to be an isolated incident, and remind that while it could have been nefarious in nature, it's
all... it was nefarious.
Also quite possible that it was just a misunderstanding.
Okay, please explain to me how this could have been a misunderstanding. Even if the guy's not a pedophile and he was not, like, looking for a minor to peep on, the guy had no business being there. The guy, it's just, how do you defend that? You just cannot defend it. So don't tell me it could have been a mistake. Not a mistake. I mean, the guy could have been drunk. He could have been inebriated. Could have been high. Maybe he thought it was his house. But, you know, like Bubba the Love Sponge, everybody cuts their own deal.
They also say after canvassing the neighborhood, it doesn't appear this has happened to anyone else. Some, however, disagree.
Someone had posted, they saw someone two blocks away from me had also had a guy looking in their window.
And this isn't the only...
Oh, well, I mean, you can't shoot a guy trying to break into your car. You can't do that.
Only suspicious thing that has happened in the area.
Neighbors here say over the years, they've witnessed people peering into car windows.
Miss Lopez. Kind of going heavy on the eyeshadow and stuff. Eyebrows are a little too manicured. Well, holy crap, look at that. Look at the high arch she has on the eyebrow. Jesus Christ. You know, for the people that are listening to the audio version of the Tuttle Daily Podcast, this is why you got to watch the show live. 7 p.m. every weeknight, Monday through Friday, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter.
And have experienced several break-ins.
So you can hear me, like, making fun of this reporter about her eyebrows and eyeshadow.
This incident terrified Amber so much, she's now moving out of the area. But police say they continue receiving tips and the investigation is ongoing. In Kimberly, Monique Lopez, Fox 11 News.
Thank you, Monique. All right, guys, I'm getting out of here. Want to thank everybody that checked out tonight's show. If you don't already subscribe to the audio podcast, you can do that. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, 315live.com, TuneIn Radio. And like I just said, if you're listening to the audio version, you want to check out the live show, you can easily do that. It's available YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. Just search Tuttle. Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E. Gonna get out of here. Want to thank everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you be safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.